welcome to In the Rising podcast. My name is Bettina Brown, and I am a physical therapist and owner of fitafterbreastcancer.com, as well as a Christian life coach. And congratulations to you. You have made a decision to rise up and create the life that you want to live just by looking at this podcast or rejoining it today. And every single area of our life, whether it's financial, emotional, our health, or even our relationships, are a part of the journey. And so as a physical therapist, I worked for many years exclusively with those going through cancer. And I tended to hear the same statement of regret, that not living the life that they wanted to live is what really regret felt like, and feeling that the clock was ticking with how much of life they still had left to make changes. And I came to that realization after taking that into my own soul, that we don't have to regret anything, that we can make the changes we want to and live the life we want to live now. It is my goal that this podcast helps you on your journey. And I do believe my guest today, Eugenia Oganova, is such a person that can help you on your journey. You know, for those of us that believe there is an energy around us, and let's face it, we use it in our language all the time. I feel this. My stomach has butterflies. My heart has pain after loss. We use those words. That resonates with me, what you said. I feel that vibe. But you know what? Energetics are a huge part of our lives. And if we can incorporate that in our personal life and move that on to our business and our relationships, we may have a life that we don't regret after all.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on In the Rising podcast. I'm excited to speak with you, and I'm energized to have a moment to talk about really living a life that's in alignment with your hopes and dreams. And it sounds like you have done this and are helping others find that conscious awareness and also step forward into living life on their own terms, just like you are living it on your terms, correct?
Yes, very much so.
And so I read about you on your website and, you know, read more about you. You just said, what struck out to me is you said, I knew I would live in the United States. I knew I would do this. Can you share where this knowing came from for you?
Well, being a conscious person and being born clairvoyant, I was always able to have a different relationship with the universe. Certain internal knowing that was happening within me was kind of a constant flow, not quite like intuition when people have an occasional sense of something, but it's like stepping into certainty when you absolutely know that this is a future option. And then there's still always a choice because we live in the free will universe. So for me, I would bump into these various possibilities that felt very true to me. And then I internally had to make that decision. Will I go for it or will I not? And if it felt like a resonance that yes, everything aligns and I'm certain that is it, then I would utilize essentially quantum creation and open doors. And this is what I do now with people, is I teach them how to find these options within the quantum field for how to find your own certainty that is in alignment with your design, and then how to step into that future for yourself.
Now, someone listening may say, that's exactly what I want, but I'm not even quite sure how to put that in other words, how to phrase that. When you say you were born clairvoyant, I want to step back. Was that something that was very accepted in your family to even talk about openly? Because I know a lot of people I've spoken to are just not wanting to tell too many people, you know, what will they think? Or are they thinking I'm really grounded? You know, some families do not have that kind of openness. Share a little bit about your experience with that.
No, my family was kind of an average crazy family, overly educated. Everybody had two or three high degrees and high positions and definitely sort of in quotes in the normal world. So having a kid that can see things was odd for them, and they all responded very differently. My grandmother was terrified for me that I would have really difficult life if I talk about it, because I wouldn't fit in. My grandfather thought it was fascinating and wanted to find scientific answers to why my brain is wired the way that it is. My mother just insisted that, no, I'm normal and none of those things are true and you're just like everybody else. And my father thought that this was really cool. So they all had different opinions about it, mm-hmm. but I was blessed with not caring what other people think. So because of it, I just kind of went on with my own way of looking at reality. And when I was 3 years old, I figured out that pretty much majority of people do not see what I see and do not know what I know. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was older, in school, you know, like being bullied, being different, being kind of not knowing how to communicate very well because I saw reality very different, I decided not to talk about it because that didn't work socially. But you can't really hide some of those things. They come out anyway because somebody somewhere says something. Yes. So that's exactly what ended up happening. And then people started to find their way to me, ask me questions and wanting to know something from what I'm able to help them with. And before long, it just ended up being my path. So when I was 14 years old, I already had clients. And from that point on, I just kind of kept going this way. And I've tried to get away from it to some extent. Like I tried to have a life, like go to college and like have a job and do normal things that people do, yeah. but it just never worked out. I always went back to being me. And since being me was actually successful, I realized that that's part of why a lot of people wanted to get to know me, because they wanted to know how can they have that level of inner, you know, confidence or certainty mm-hmm. or ability to not worry so much about all these things that people worry about, because I don't do that. My whole energy system is very efficient because I utilize the way that I'm meant to be. And most people, they don't utilize the way they meant to be. They kind of utilize the way that they programmed to be. So part of what I've been doing my whole life is helping people one way or another in different areas of their life to essentially shed layers of conditioning and programming and imprinting and find who they are so that they can find that internal certainty and show up.
And I'm glad that you phrased it that way, because I am really working with a lot of people and have had people conversations where they are working through some end stage terminal illness. And when they're end stage, that's a time when people start reflecting on their life a lot more. And I did hear that the number one issue, problem, concern of those that are really actively dying is that they lived a life that they were programmed to be, told to be, but they didn't live the life they wanted to be. They were not showing up as themselves. And so the very thing that you said is that people are wanting and seeking out to be themselves is exactly what prompted me to begin this podcast and to be a person that is rising up to be themselves and not what fits.
Exactly.
So that's huge what you said. And people were coming to you because you already were doing that at 14. And earlier.
I was doing it way earlier. I was doing it actually from the beginning of my life, but I was aware when I was being programmed. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, what part of my superpower is that I have enough of this internal observer or witness, you can say, that I can see where, oh, this is how this environment is shaping me to be, but this is how I am. And I can see the difference and I can make that choice. Do I want to play the game and be as I'm expected to be right now, or do I choose not to? And being somewhat of a rebel, I always chose not to. So over time, that sort of developed into a personality that looked to other people like I know what I'm doing, even if they didn't understand it, but it looked like I was confident and I had something that they wanted. And this is not some magical thing that only I have. Every single person can actually be that. We look differently in different people, of course, but we each have a unique design. This is what I call soul design. It's sort of like how you're made within each lifetime. So when you're born, you have certain gifts that you're meant to bring, certain lessons you're meant to learn. And we are traumatized quite often by our environment. And then instead of doing what we're meant to do, as in sharing our gifts and learning our lessons, we end up just trying to avoid more pain or avoid mm-hmm. something that was difficult. And this is how a lot of times we end up in a position where somebody might be realizing that, oh my God, I don't know who I am and I'm 40 years old. And I seem to have a job and a family and sort of like I've done everything in quotes right. But why am I doing this? Who am I? This is sort of the midlife crisis that a lot of people have too. Same thing happens in business and relationships. And especially if there's an illness that kind of puts everything under question. So one of the main things I always tell people is find what is your sole expertise? What is it that your unique superpower, unique gift? Not whatever skills you've learned. We all try to prop ourselves up with skills like, oh, I went to school or I have this certification, like, oh, I know how to do this. Like, put that all aside. And underneath it, what is it that's natural to you? Maybe you're absolutely awesome at being able to be supportive to somebody. Maybe people come to you because they can tell you a secret, something that they know you can hold them in so that they can find their own space and feel like they can trust you. Maybe there's something within you that, like for me, one of my superpowers is I connect the dots. So somebody can tell me the story that to them, there's like 20 different things and life is complicated. And I would be like, no, 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 1, 2, 3, that's it. And immediately it's like a whole puzzle gets put together. So maybe you have skill like that or whatever. These are skills that come from the expertise. These are not learned skills. Expertise is the origin of confidence. So when somebody says, well, I don't know who I am, I would say that's because a lot of the layers of what you build your identity on, as in who you think you are, based on what other people's expectations were. So if you instead kind of put the expectations aside and look for what am I naturally an expert in? Something I didn't have to learn, something I just am. Not even something I do, but something I am. The more you bring that into your everyday life, even if somebody is terminally ill and they have a limited amount of time in this body, but they still choose for, let's say, 2 months that they have, do that, focus on that amazing expertise they brought in, that right there realigns the entire life and sometimes actually results in body healing as well.
Mm-hmm. And thanks for putting that and phrasing it that way, because that does really make sense. What are you naturally good at and what you are, not what you do. And I feel that a lot of people when they're mindful was what I have my experience in is with health related issues is that what they do and who they are, they could not differentiate that at all. And there was a knowing that that was not the case, but there was not a knowing of what should be the case or how to move on, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And one of the easiest ways to do this is to separate the role from existence. So like, let's say your role could be I'm an employee or I'm a business owner or I'm a mom or I'm a mother or like to this group of children, let's say. So like I'm a family person or maybe somebody, I don't know, think of themselves as I am somebody in this process in my life, like let's say going through the illness. These are more of the roles. So if let's say the role didn't matter, or if you were coming in a world where like nobody knew what that means for you to be a mother or whatever, then it would be who are you as, let's say, a mother, as a business owner, as a person going through an illness of some sort. So now we're taking the role kind of to the side and starting to dig underneath it to who are you really? And usually it's a combination of factors. Nobody's perfect, but nobody is a mess and nothing good is in there. Like that doesn't happen either. So it would be more like, well, I'm a person that could be confident in certain scenarios and I don't know, maybe gets upset easily or I get my feelings hurt, but I tend to get over it quickly. I'm the person who can, you know, rise up to the occasion. And at the same time, I get scared of about this. And you kind of start to develop this inner map of your behavior, but look what's beyond the behavior. That would be what drives you. So to look beyond behavior, you need to look at what's driving you. And it's interesting how for a lot of people, the first answer is always more like a programmed answer. Well, what drives me is I have to be a good mother. But then let's say if we dive underneath that, she kind of doesn't care to be a good mother, but she cares to be, or whatever that term for her, it doesn't mean anything. It's from her family. But what, let's say her thing was, I want my kids to learn, let's say, honesty or honor or something like that. Okay, now that's different. So now we define what good mother is from the kind of an artificial construct into, oh, so honesty and let's say following through on your word is important to you and that's what you want to instill in your children. Or maybe somebody who's a, I don't know, business owner and they want to, let's say, make their business work certain way or generate certain amount of income or help certain number of people. And then we look underneath that. And the drive maybe to prove something to their father. And yeah. It's like, okay, if we clean that up, would you still want to do your business? Would you still want to be an entrepreneur? And a lot of times it's like, whoa, okay. So if I didn't have to prove anything, I have to actually find why I want to do this business. And to me, eventually all of this goes down to service because we're here one way or another to serve others, to serve human collective, to impact human collective and advance human consciousness. So you might not think in these terms, you might think of, well, I'm just being good mom to my kid, but you are advancing consciousness of human collective by instilling in your child a specific parameter that you stand for that is harmonious. And the same goes for business, the same goes for partnerships and everything else.
And that resonates with me for sure, because you talk about how we are to be in service. And a lot of people will mention, I want to do this. And if you go under all these layers of the onion or, under the basement, dig it out, a lot of people really do feel that they want to be of service to someone. They don't want to let someone down. And in that fact, have actually let themselves down by doing all the right things, quote unquote, right? Air quotes. Say someone
You said the service and not let someone down. I would not put those two together. That's actually how things get a little twisted, because service in a higher sense is actually self-responsibility and self-honor that has absolutely nothing, zero, to do with anybody else's expectations. That is truly you shining your gift and your brilliance to the world, because we each are a unique cosmic event. When you're talking about don't let someone down, you automatically go down to somebody else's expectations. Because don't let them down, that's based on what will let them down. In my world, and the way I teach my clients is that you cannot let anybody down because they will have to get down. So they would choose to get upset. They would have to choose to be angry or upset or hurt by your behavior. And we cannot be responsible for other people. We can only be responsible for self. So if, let's say, you are in integrity, you know, you did not mean to hurt anybody. You did not mean to upset anybody. You did not mean to not follow through on whatever. You're just following what is the most aligned. So then if other people choose to get upset or have some issue about it, which occasionally does happen since we do not control other people, then you can be kind to them and compassionate, but not change necessarily your behavior always to accommodate, because then you're off the service path. As far as the business thing, one of the things that I teach my clients in, and I work with spiritual people, so conscious coaches, personal transformation experts, energy healers, anybody that deals with, let's say, mindset or emotional wellness or body wellness, something that's in that direction. So they are coaches, mentors, or healers one way or another, like maybe nutritionist or something like that. So these people, they already kind of automatically looking for creating a community, creating their business with clients that respond to what they are bringing through. And one of the things that I teach is how to do marketing in a way that not only aligns to you specifically, so you're not using some cookie cutter stuff that somebody taught you for $300 online, but that you're actually custom create your own way of presenting what you're doing to the world. But at the same time, how do you utilize specific words so you clearly articulate the value of what you're bringing and attract to you correct people while repelling incorrect people? So because of that, specific skill that I teach my clients, they do not attract, and so do I as well. I do not attract people who I need to either convince or who are totally lost. Like, that's not necessarily the level of work that I do. So what I do is sort of more like a PhD level versus the kindergarten level. So I used to, and I mean, I've been in business 25 years. So at the beginning, yes, I worked a lot with people who were very much lost and just trying to figure it out or feeling somehow abused or assaulted by something, environment or relationship, and they wanted to find clarity. Over the years, I have progressed into teaching people who are already on the path to understand deeper layers of their soul work in the world so that they can put their service further out into the world. And where I have been now for past 7 years, 10 years, is working with leaders of communities, people who are already in the position of one way or another leadership, and they are bringing to the world whatever it is that they stand for, that they care about, and they're supporting their people. So they're not lost or confused. They are clear pretty much internally on what their mission is or their sole purpose is. But they either not sure how to bring it out into this world, like they're afraid to burn out, for example. They've done it before when they overextended themselves and burned out. Or maybe they afraid to be taken advantage of because they overgave before. Or maybe they want to actually generate income doing the work that they're doing and then not sure how to deal with this internal stuff about, okay, how do I charge more for this type of work and so on. So these are more of the problems. So from that standpoint, yes, of course, they are open to this information that I'm bringing, and they already ready to go deeper. And I just want to comment here that for anybody who has one way or another some entrepreneurial practice, understand that if you are attracting to you people that are not correct for you, like you either have to convince them or they're not ready, or it's kind of like a battle with the client instead of actually helping them, that means there's something off in what you're putting out into the world to bring these people in. Because in energetics, you essentially create like a vortex around you with the messaging, with what you're saying to the world, with how you're being in your body, let's say on camera, if you're doing like Facebook Lives or Instagram Lives or anything like that. All these little things, how you interact with people, what words you use, makes a difference as to who comes into your world. And I'm not saying that somehow everybody has to work with somebody who's fully conscious. Like, no, there are plenty of people who want to work with beginners and help them to just step on a path. That's fine. Yeah. But be very clear who you want to work with and trust yourself. When you're working with somebody or you attracted somebody or you just signed somebody for an appointment and you're kind of like, ugh, like it's disappointing or it feels crunchy inside or something, you're not enjoying helping this person, that you don't have to be a slave and say, well, you know, I'm here to do. No, you're not. You're here to work with specific people who love and need what you're bringing. So if you are feeling kind of eh about it, something inside doesn't sit right with a specific client, don't feel bad or guilty about it. Instead, go into more like a problem solving mode. Like, okay, what did I say that brought this person into my life? How did they show up? Did they read my sales page or my flyer, or did they saw my video? Okay, was there some red flags when we were chatting before they sign up? And I just kind of reasoned myself into, well, I can probably help them. Like, look for those things and don't do them again. That's all. No need to feel bad about it. But it's actually something that I see so often when people work with people that they don't like, and then they don't like what they do when actually they meant to help. And it's glorious that they can do that. Just work with the people who are receptive to what you're bringing.
Yeah. And I think working with people who are receptive, that can work in so many areas of your life.
Of course.
Yeah. And you don't have to pull down the door and like beat it into someone. Some people are your people. Some people are not. And that is okay.
Well, and from the, and from the energetic standpoint, we actually, like, I would use it like a range of frequency. So there's certain range that you vibrate in. You have the lower end of that range and a higher end. And your friends, your like coworkers, whoever you socialize with, your clients, if you're an entrepreneur, should fall into that range. And ideally midway to up, not always down. No. So if, let's say, you have a family member that doesn't even fit into that range, or barely to the lower part of your range, that's not a family member you want to socialize with. I'm not saying like stop having a relationship. Maybe you just see them once a year for, you know, holidays or something and be polite, but don't feel bad that you don't have a desire to go hang out with this person. Maybe it's your sister. Well, if you're in a different frequency range, it's actually detrimental. And from my experience of doing this work for pretty much my entire life, which is almost 50 years, is that we have certain capacity for growth. And some people are on the path and some people are not. And when we show up in their lives, or if they are in our lives, there's something to learn in us about our behavior, but it's not always about getting the other person to be where we are. Mm-hmm. Some people are just, that's not their path this lifetime, maybe next time, but not this time. So instead of trying so hard to get your whole tribe or community to match your beliefs, it's way better to be fully in embodiment of your beliefs. And then from that place, show up and showcase who you are. And then right people will come to you. And the wrong people will literally leave you and let them go, because it creates more space in your life for more amazing people.
And you said it, let them go and let people in and let them go. And use the lessons and don't be down on yourself with that. So very good. I like the way you put things very, very well. So say someone's listening and they're like, yes, I am a conscious person. I am on board with this. I feel my purpose. I'm not wandering lost with what does it all mean. I know what this lifetime means for me, but I also have some, like you said earlier, the dots that aren't really connecting. And sometimes it's hard to connect the dots when they're so close and they are your dots, right? How can they learn more from you, and what resources do you have out and about to connect with you?
Well, I would say, first of all, go into onto my website, transcensiongate.com. This is where you will find all the information about so many things that I've been talking about. If you are an entrepreneur and a conscious healer, coach, something like that, and you want to bring your business structure to the level that's in alignment and integrity with all these things we're talking about, with your soul expertise, so that your messaging fully reflects what you want to do in this life and your mission, then there are steps for you to take. You can have a information available on the website to show up and interact with me to see if we're a match to work together. If you're not an entrepreneur and you're just looking at it from the standpoint of consciousness and understanding reality and wanting to be of service, I have many programs. One of them that is going on is Quantum Impact Program. There's also Quantum Evolution Program, and there are others. So check those out and see if this is for you. If it is, then definitely join our community. And this is where I teach this kind of a level stuff, a really high level information of spiritual leadership and showing up correctly inside your own energetics and serving the community at the highest level, finding your own leadership, clarifying maybe a little bit more about your purpose, understanding where there are these blind spots that maybe you're not seeing. So those things also exist. And on my website, you can find them. So look for how you can work with me in my program component of transcensiongate.com. There's information for entrepreneurial side and non-business consciousness side, both of them.
I felt Eugenia just had so many good points in our conversation today. And what I felt, my energy from Eugenia, was that she was someone who was very confident in her abilities and what she knows and what she's going to do with her life. And I really enjoyed the segment of our conversation where she talked about service, because I reflected, is not service such a huge part of our lives? Is not the most selfish thing that we can do to give to other people? You know, that feeling that just kind of hits you in your soul. Like, we love to see the face of someone when we can give them a gift, when we can give them a gift of time or a blessing or an actual physical object. We feel good.
So if we're taking that service, how can we advance that on? And so I ask you as well to live in service today. And if you feel that this podcast or particularly this episode could really make a difference for someone that you know, take that moment and forward that podcast so we can put it in the hands and ears of those that it can make the greatest difference to. And until next time, let's keep building one another up.